These last 2 months have been really hard on all of us. We get in there, having to deal with all the shut-ins, and then of course all the rules and regulations of 6 feet apart, mask, don't go this place, don't go that place, the whole world has changed. And it's not going back to the way it was either. I think we can see that. There's going to be changes made all over the place. And of course, some of the changes might be for the better for some people, but for a lot of people, it's going to be a lot worse. So all we can do is just pray. Pray that everything we do will be good and acceptable in the sight of God. That's where we need to focus ourselves. I mean, the world out there worrying about COVID-19, they're worried about the riots, they're worried about this and that. We've got to be focused on God and serve Him the best we can. So we're going to have a little lesson here, and I emphasize the word little because hopefully it won't take too long if I don't get off on a soapbox or something. But are we drifting? And I would say that those that are in this room are not, because we have established ourselves, we're faithful, we're going to be serving the Lord to the best of our ability. We do have some members of our congregation who are drifting, and that is an area of concern. So we're going to present this lesson tonight, even though others need to hear it, and of course it will be on the internet, so hopefully they will take the time to look at that. See, in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, uses this phrase, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." I'm sure when we hear the word drifting, it brings to mind maybe being out on a lake and just letting the waves run you along, and you're just kind of drifting along. We even have that song, "Drifting Along with a Smile and a Song." In other words, taking it easy. You're not having to exert any pressure to get from one point to the other. You're just going to let things happen the way they are. In some cases, that can be okay. If you're on vacation, that's okay. Take that time. I know when growing up and with the kids, we'd go out on vacation every spring break. There's a certain park down there in Texas we'd go to and camp out. We sit there, nice and quiet. All you'd hear was the birds singing and the crickets chirping and stuff like that. And it was just nice. Every now and then a deer would walk through the campground or a raccoon or something. And it was just a few days of just being laid back, not doing anything, just laying there. And the problem is with some people, they're doing this all the time. They're laid back, taking it easy, when they should be making an effort. So we're going to look at that. And there's things we should know about drifting. And some of these are common sense. But one thing about drifting, it requires no effort. No effort whatsoever. Now, we're told in the Bible we must be diligent to do certain things for God. And, of course, the word diligent means to make every effort. We've got to put forth the effort to serve God, and we've got to put forth that effort with passion, with intensity, and there's not enough people who do that. It's just, let's go to church again, and I mean, there's no excitement about it, and there should be, but drifting requires no effort at all. In fact, you don't even have to watch where you're going. And that is the problem. People don't watch where they're going. They don't see far enough ahead to see that they might be in trouble. If you get yourself on a river and you start drifting down the river, maybe you fall asleep. What happens? You can be the next thing you know, you could be going over a waterfall or going through the rapids. Maybe lose your life. So you've got to pay attention. But see, it's an unconscious process. People just go here and there. They do things without thinking. And that's a problem with some of our brethren, is the fact that they don't think about things. They're not looking forward to eternity. They're worried about maybe the roast in the oven. They're worried about the ball team, who's going to win the ball game tonight. They're worried about the economy. They're worried about all sorts of things. But when it comes to spiritual matters, they don't even think about it. So it's just unconscious for them. And it doesn't bother them either. One thing's for sure, you'll never drift upstream or against the tide. That will not happen. You have to get a motor or human power with oars or something like that to go upstream. Maybe if you can use a sailboat, you might be successful if the wind is blowing just right. But other than that, you never drift upstream or against the tide. And of course, as you continue to go downstream, sometimes the speed increases. It depends on the elevation of the land. You know, sometimes some rivers, they have rapids, and then all of a sudden it calms down for a little while. Then they have more rapids and calms down. Then a waterfall and calms down. So all these streams, they have different characteristics about them. But one thing is for sure, if you keep going downstream, you're either going to run into the lake or you're going to run into the ocean. And either one of those can be dangerous. It becomes dangerous not only for yourself, if you're not paying attention, but if somebody's with you, it's going to be dangerous for them as well. And our brethren who are drifting, basically, they're not setting a good example for others. And so it becomes dangerous for those others because they need to see a good example. Kind of like we talked this morning about the family. Family's got to show each other a desired interest in serving God. Otherwise, it's dangerous for the whole family. And then, of course, in the end, like I say, it can end in shipwreck. It can end in destruction. It can end in death. Now, there's common signs of drifting for the Christian. We're going to look at those. First of all, a diminishing desire to study God's Word. And so, let's face it. It's obvious some people don't spend much time studying God's Word. I would hope that they do. I would like to see that, but there's hardly any evidence. I know one time I was talking to a lady who had been a member of the church probably 20, 30 years, and I started mentioning some characters from the Old Testament. And you know when you're talking to somebody and they just give you that blank stare? You know what that means? I have no idea what you're talking about. And they come across that, and they should have studied these things. They should have studied these characters. Should have known who they were. But just that blank stare. So that told me they never study. They don't read God's Word. They don't understand about God's Word. And so when you're diminishing desire, that's just a sign that you are drifting away. You're not learning what you need to learn in order to be pleasing to God. And a diminishing desire to be with God's people. Now, we could talk about the current situation, and we can understand the concern people have about maybe catching something. And so they stay away from the crowds. They stay away from gatherings. And to a degree, we can understand that. And we really don't fault them for it if that's how they feel. But before the pandemic came in, we have brethren who just basically stayed away from us, quite often, in fact. And so they have a problem, and we have to recognize that. And then, of course, something that even we might have a problem with is the diminishing desire to share the gospel. As Christians, that is our duty to share the gospel with others. It is our responsibility to God to, first of all, live the life that we're supposed to live. A life that is letting our light shine. A life that is conducting itself in such a way that people might ask us, what is the hope within us? We have to really demonstrate to the world that, yes, we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we really believe that there is an eternity coming, and we are trying to hold on to that hope of the gospel. the hope of being with God forever in heaven. And it's got to be something that excites us. Otherwise, it's not going to be catching. Other people aren't going to get excited about it. I mean, if it's just a blah, I mean, some people, when they talk, it's just kind of, you know, like the Charlie Brown, wah, 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 that's all you get. But when we don't share the gospel, we're not fulfilling our duty to God. And of course, we have less and less desire to do so. That's a common sign of drifting. And then, of course, in association with that, there's the ever-increasing thrill over the things of this world. What this world has to offer is sometimes even more important than what our souls are worth, as far as the way some people act. They got to go get their hair done, got to take their pet to the dentist, the vet, and there's a show coming on I don't want to miss. The ball game's on, I can't miss the ball game. Even though they're recording it at the same time, that they can't miss the ball game. And so what the things of this world gives them so much excitement. I mean, going out spending money and buying things for yourself is exciting for some people. And yet the things of God just kind of sit over in the corner untouched. Now there's remedies against drifting. And they're simple. If you're in a boat, you keep rowing. I mean, you gotta figure out where you're going and row that direction. Or if you have a power boat, just crank up the engine and go. But you need to know where you're going. And if you're heading in the wrong direction, you're not going to get to your destination. So you've got to know where you're going. And we say this all the time about us. When we're going towards heaven, we got to fix our gaze on Jesus, right? Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Fixing our gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And yes, yeah, so we focus on Jesus. That is our goal when you're running a race. Everybody runs a race, but only one wins the prize, right? That's what Paul said. And why? And they can only win the prize if they compete according to the rules. And so there's something else we have to consider as well. So we've got to be involved. We've got to be putting some, if not a lot, of effort into these things. Remember when Jesus went up to the mountain to pray and the disciples started across on the sea. And of course the sea got kind of wild and billowy, and here Jesus walking on the sea. And they were afraid. They thought it was a ghost or some sort of spirit or something like that. And finally they recognized him, and Peter said, "Can I go?" Another time they were on the sea and it was just billowing up and down, and they were drastically trying to row to shore, and it was too much for them. They couldn't do it. When Jonah was running away from God, the sailors there, they were trying, the shipmen were trying to get everything taken care of so they wouldn't drown. And it, finally, they ended up throwing Jonah over the side, and then, of course, the waters calmed down. So we got to keep rowing. In other words, making an effort. And we've got to watch out for the undercurrents. If you're not familiar with what undercurrents are, I mean, they're very dangerous. Sometimes they'll talk about it, especially around beach communities where there's beach. There's an undertow there. Water comes in, but then what happens? That water goes out. The water comes across on the top, but then at the bottom, it slides out to sea. And people get caught in that undercurrent, they can be swept out to sea real easy. A lot of people drown that way. I know along the Gulf Coast they do quite frequently. It's just a common occurrence in the summertime when all these people are out there and all of a sudden they just disappear. Where'd they go? Well, I don't know. Well, they wash up a few weeks later or a few days later. But as Christians, we've got to expect to go against the tide. You know, we hear the expression, don't make waves, or go along with the flow. If everybody is doing one thing, well, you just want to go along with everybody because you don't want to go against the flow. And that's not very smart. Well, that really depends on what we're talking about. Exodus tells, there's a passage in there, do not follow a crowd to do evil. Do not follow the crowd. They are wrong by doing that. And sometimes when you're going along with everybody else, all of a sudden, it's like what we're seeing this week now. All of a sudden, someone picks up a rock and throws it into place. There's plenty of rocks around. Well, why not? And you join. You join in with everybody. Then you start, what would happen if you said, wait, don't be doing that. That's not right. What would they do to you? They'd probably pound you and beat you up. So you can expect to go against the tide if you're going to do things right. If you're going to serve the Lord faithfully, you're going to be going against the flow of everything this world stands for. This world is against God. This world is against the truth of God's word. And so when you stick with the truth, you're going against everything this world stands for. And you're going to make waves. You're going to make enemies. We also have to have a strong anchorage. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Hebrews 13:6 tells us that. And yes, so we need that strong anchor. We sing the song, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Yeah, we need a strong anchor, something to hold on to. And the thing about an anchor, it doesn't keep a ship immobile. It keeps it from drifting away. But it keeps it, as long as the anchor is set, the ship's not going to go away anywhere. Now, it may drift around a little bit here to the right and left, depending on the waves and the current of the tide. But if we have a strong anchor, we're not going anywhere. That's why we need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So yes, we need a strong foundation to hang on to. So really, when they cast out anchors, for the most part, they hope that an anchor catches on a rock or something so that it'll give it some stability. Just anchors in the sand really have a tendency with enough pressure to fail. Like I said, some of our members are drifting. We need to be praying for them. We need to be concerned for their soul, and we need to talk to them. I mean, we contacted everybody and said, we're going to be back in services. We're going to practice social distancing. We're going to take things. We're going to safety measures and things like that. And still, we had 11 people show up this morning. Less than that tonight. Some are drifting. Some really have no excuse for not being here. Yes, some are cautious. Sometimes some of their family won't let them come. Betty's family won't let them come. Al and Maureen's daughter won't let them come. They get all upset about that. Others don't feel good. And we know that. Some can't get out to drive. We know that also. But there are some people that have the ability to be here who have chosen not to. The danger is real. And we would be fools to say otherwise. It is dangerous to be drifting along. And when we see others drifting along, we need to warn them. There's danger ahead. I mean, that's what we talk about. We talk about, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Why? Because there's a coastline with a lot of danger there. And so we do that. And we set out the lifelines and of course, the lighthouse. Let the lower lights be burning. That's to protect the seamen from the rocks. So if we can't warn our brethren, we would be fools not to do that. We know many have drifted away from the Lord. Many have known the truth, but they've chosen to do something different. Apparently, the allure of the world is too much for them. They just couldn't resist. Whether they tried or not, I don't know. But many have drifted away from the Lord. And of course, we know what their lot is going to be, where they're going to end up. And we would be arrogant to say that it could not happen to us. I mean, that's a warning we all need to take, because it could happen. I mean, it could happen to me, it could happen to you, and we'd just be arrogant to say, oh, that'll never happen. How many times have you heard that? Of course, how many times in the movies you say, oh, that'll never happen, then guess what? You know what's coming. Something's going to happen that they said it'll never happen. All right, so most people who are drifting do not even know it. That's the sad thing about it. They are ignorant. They haven't studied. They don't know. They don't know what God's Word says. And they don't know that they're in a precarious situation that they could lose their soul. They think they're okay. And that is the sad thing about it. They do not even know it. So, the question for tonight is, are there signs of drifting in your life? Do you recognize that about yourself? Do you think that maybe this lesson might apply to you or not? I would hope not, but you never know. You never know who we're going to touch with our message. So, if there's anything you want to do to change, then we're going to give you the opportunity to do so as we extend the invitation. And once again, remember, pray for our brethren, and pray that we can be assisting them as they need. So that's our lesson for this evening. We're going to sing.